Open up to Mark 16. If I really had my way, we would just lower the video screen and show the video from Wednesday night. The title of that message is called The Word Must Become Flesh. And I highly recommend it to you. I'm not going to try and reteach that today. But what the essence of the message is, knowledge alone is not enough. Knowledge alone is not enough. You have to become the Word. Or said another way, the Word has to become you. It has to become bone of your bone. And he had me use the analogy of someone trying to learn martial arts, and I don't know anything about martial arts except I know the name karate. I'm not endorsing karate. I just know that name. I could say jiu-jitsu. That's the other one, but I never hear anyone, you do that anymore. Let's just talk about karate. So let's say someone studies karate. They've got all the books. Maybe they've watched videos. They've seen it. They say, okay, you move that way, you move this way. And so, but then suddenly they're in a fight. And I quoted, yes, I did. I quoted Mike Tyson. I never thought in church I would quote Mike Tyson. But they were interviewing Mike Tyson. You all know who he is? He's a famous boxer. In his heyday, he was a force to be reckoned with. Okay? They were interviewing him one time and talk about, hey, you know, this guy, he's got a real plan. He's got a plan that he's going to beat you. You know what Mike said? Everybody has a plan till they get punched in the face. Isn't that true? You can study karate. You can learn it. You can learn all the jargon. You can sit and have coffee and talk with people about karate. You can know everything about it. You can watch every movie, you know, the Karate Kid. You can have it memorized. I can't do that thing. But anyway, that Karate Kid thing, you know. But then suddenly one day you get punched in the face. Life smacks you right upside the head, and now you're in a fight. You didn't even know it was coming. Now, this is not how you want to be. What did I learn? Karate. Do I stand this way? No. I think you stand this way. No, wait. No, don't hit me. Let's see now. What was that move? What was that? Bam. Oh, what was that move? Getting punched in the face. That's how most Christians are. You might know the word. You might could teach the word. You might have it where you could sit and have coffee and fellowship and yes and worship and sling snot and cry and all. And that's all okay. Till you get punched in the face. The word has to become you. See, if you're going to really be in the martial arts, it's not enough to know about karate. You have to become one with karate. Karate has to become you. That's where he is bringing us right now. And what would be the word for that, Gary? That would be called believing. Really believing. Not have knowledge of. Believing. Now, the reason that's so important. Yes, sir. Mark 16. Yes, sir. Listen, God is doing everything he can to move us, not only at this church, but everyone in the sound of my voice around the world, everyone that's connected themselves up with this vision. Yes, and I already know this. Some of the things I'm going to say today, there's going to be individuals here and other places because of conversations we've had. You're going to think I'm directing a message at you. What you don't know is the 20 other people I talk to that's going to think the same thing. It's directed at me as much as it's directed at anybody else. This is for us. You hear me? All right? Now, God is doing everything he can to move us from the receiving side of the line to the ministering side of the line. He is trying to get all of us past ourselves, past our little. And I don't mean to, when I say little hurts, to you they might be a mountain. To the blood of Jesus, they're nothing. Most of you are hanging on to hurts and trying to be healed when the truth of the matter is that person that got hurt died when you received Christ in the first place. You're trying to heal a dead person. And you're dragging your old dead soul wondering why things aren't working. See, y'all should have come. Alan was nice this morning, see? Alan, he was sweet and love, you know. This message is not like that at all. When you're going to step into the arena to get the captives free, is that the time to be reading your manual on how to use the sword? How about how to use the shield? How do I use that shield again? What was that lesson? How do I use the shield and sword? Let's see. Let me go. Angie, what number was that on Gary's? No. When you get punched in the face, you better be ready for battle. Amen. We're going to set the captives free. Mark 16. I'm really just after the last verse, but I can't do it anymore. We got to read, at least start at 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And what did Paul say about the gospel? Romans chapter 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of salvation to all who what? Believe, see. So he says, I want you to go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And we could just stop right there and preach a really hard message. How important is it to believe the gospel? When it comes to salvation, your eternal everything is right there. You better believe it. And there's no patty cakes if you don't. You see where we're headed? There's no attaboys. That's what, well, I know you're trying to believe that I died for you. Will that work? I know you're trying to believe that my blood paid the price. I know you're trying. Well, when the disciples worked all night trying to keep that boat going, and they were bailing out the water in the ship, and the storm was about to sink the boat, and these guys made their living on that sea. They, if anybody knew how to handle storms, it's those guys. Worked and toiled all night, it says. And they were afraid they were actually going to die. Lord, don't you care that we perish? These guys experienced, made a living on that same sea for their whole life. We're going to die. And Jesus did not give him an attaboy. He did not pat him on the back. I appreciate all your effort. He said, how is it that you have no faith? How is it that you have no faith? But Lord, we've worked and we toiled and we strived and we love you, Jesus. I know that. How is it that you have no faith? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. See, I think the church has become too politically correct. Don't you dare hurt my feelings. Don't you dare tell me I'm wrong. Don't you dare tell me what I'm doing is sin. I leave this church. There is the door. Get your hiney out of here. We are going into revival, and you're welcome to join the broad path. Broad is the path that leads to destruction. There it is. There's the door. I'm giving you time. Nobody would do it right now. I'm telling you. Yes, sir. I thought this was going to come. See, people, they really admire Smith Wigglesworth now. He's a giant and man, he was called the apostle of faith. This guy, if you ever really read about the miracles that happened with this guy, I mean, he would grab cancers on a person's face and tear it off. Throw it on the floor and the whole auditorium would watch it just shrivel to nothing. I'm not recommending that. I don't plan on doing that. You feel free to get in the line. He would punch people in the stomach. One time he punched this one guy and everybody thought he died. Everybody thought. And Smith just walked on down the aisle to the next one, said in his English accent, "He's healed." Healed. They couldn't say H. He's healed. And eventually the guy rose up and he was well. And they said he ran out to, he was in church. He's in a hospital gown with the back undone. And he's running all around the church. God's not nearly as politically correct as we are. God just wanted the man healed. See, I'm saying that to say, boy, well, don't we admire him in this generation? But see, Lester Summerall knew him. Lester Summerall spent lots of time in Smith Wigglesworth's home. Y'all know the story. The first time he came, man, he dressed up and had his best clothes on, had his... you're in England, right? So you got the umbrella, he had the bowler hat, and he had the newspaper tucked under his arm. Knock, knock, knock. Hello. Hi, I'm Lester Summerall. I was coming to visit you. He said, well, fine, you can come in, but you cannot bring that newspaper with you. In my house, there's only truth, and that is lies. See, what Lester found out by going to his... See, you would... I mean, Smith was famous at the time. He had been at this a long time. He was worldwide famous when this was going on. You know what Lester says, though? He says, all the trips that I ever made to his house, and it was a lot of them, I never saw another minister come visit him. There never was. He says, among his peers, he was revered, but nobody wanted to hang around with him. You know why? He wasn't fun to hang around with. All he wanted to do was talk about the word and pray. He said, you'd be there for hours. He'd read for 30 minutes. He said, now, brother, let's pray. Let's pray for 30 minutes. Now, let me read some more. He'd read out of the word, and then let's pray. And then they might have a little bite to eat, and then we'd read the word, and we'd pray, and after about 4 hours, you get to leave. Nobody wanted that. Nobody wanted to be around him. He wasn't fun to be around with. And he didn't have a very good bedside manner. What I mean is politically correct. One guy come up. The second night of a crusade, he'd already prayed for him once the night before. Smith had prayed for this guy the night before. So it's the second night and people are coming up. Smith's praying and he recognized him. He said, didn't I pray for you last night? And she's heard the story before. And the guy, I imagine, sheepishly went, yeah. Smith takes his foot, kicks him off the platform. He says, you're already healed and too dumb to know it. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. How is it that you have no faith? See, you don't want to ever think Jesus talked like that, but he did. Now, I'm not saying he kicked anybody off the platform. But I'm saying a lot of this nicey-nicey, don't you dare hurt my feelings. Don't you dare tell me I'm wrong. Don't you dare tell me what I'm doing is sin. Don't you dare tell me I'm not believing right. That's not how Jesus functioned. Jesus loves you too much to lie to you. Maybe I should have Alan finish this. He'd probably deliver it in a lot more love. I hadn't even got to the verse yet. Okay, back to Mark 16. Yes, sir. Maybe I'm not either. Hang on. Now, he's saying that about Smith for a reason. Not all ministers was like that. Catherine Kuhlman was like, to me, like the opposite of that. Catherine with those long, flowing... I don't know how she... Surely she didn't try and eat with those. Maybe you have ketchup and mustard. Anyway, at least I would. But, ooh, I mean, she's like the opposite, I think, of Smith. You know, ooh, the Lord is with you. Ah, the Lord has come. He will heal you today. Personality is not what it's about. Trust me, I will never be Catherine Kuhlman. That personality. I might be more like Smith. Hopefully I'm somewhere in between. John, yes, sir. John G. Lake. See, my job is not to ignore these. When he, I have a letter at my house. I'll bring it someday and read it to you. And I say, there's another one. We all admire John G. Lake. I read some letters Wednesday night of some amazing things. And I gave some history. In Spokane, Washington, in 5 years, 100,000 documented healings. I call that pretty good. The local hospital shut down eventually because there was not enough people coming. People accused him it was because, well, Spokane is special and these people are special. So he purposely moved to Portland, Oregon, got 20 different people, trained them to do the same thing, and had the same testimony in 5 years, 100,000 documented healings. Same thing. Don't we admire that? Man, you think, man, I'd like to be around. If John G. Lake was still alive, man, I'd like to hang around with him. I'd like to be with him, and I would. Don't get me wrong. But see, you have an image of what you think that would be like. I have a letter in my possession by John G. Lake writing to another well-known minister. You know what it's about? The letter says, you are too fat. You eat too much meat. You need to change how you're eating or you're going to die. Would that fly in today's politically correct church? See, these guys are not, they're not so much interested in your soul as they are interested in your spirit. We're supposed to renew the mind. Think like Jesus. Amen. See, oh, I want to be like John G. Lake. Yeah, until he says you're too fat. You got to change what you... And he says, you eat too much meat. That doesn't fly today, does it? But yet he's walking in miracles and we're not. For the most part. I know we have some. Now here's what Smith said, getting back to Smith. And I'm not pointing the finger. I have my own walk. Y'all know I'm believing for my back, so I'm pointing at me as much as anybody here. This is not pointed at Alan. It's not pointed at anybody that came in with a cane or glasses, hearing aids. We're all where we are. But I'm going to quote Smith exactly. Smith says, and people don't like this. I don't like it. But am I going to... Okay. Here's what he said. The man who believes God has it. You got it? The man who believes God has it. He's talking about the manifestation. Okay? That's hard. That is hard for Alan. That's hard for Gary. That's hard, my glasses and everything else. We're not picking on anybody. But I don't want to bring Smith down to my level. I want to rise up to where he was walking. I don't want to bring John G. Lake trying to water down what he did. I need to change what I believe to rise up to where he was walking. And one of the things I brought out Wednesday night was that verse in Philippians where Paul says, he says, mark those that are an example for you to follow. Well, I mark Smith. I mark Paul. Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Hey, raising a guy from the dead that even if it was your mighty message that he fell asleep in, guy that fell out of the second story window, you know, is Paul's message. How dare that guy? Anyway, he fell out of the... Paul went over and raised him from the dead. I think I'm going to study Paul. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth, that one time that they please come and pray for brother so-and-so, and by the time he got there, the guy had died. Smith knocks on the door, and the guy opening the door, and he says, you got here too late. Smith says, God never sends me anywhere too late. Where have you laid him? Goes into the corpse where the corpse is, grabs the corpse, lifts it out of the bed. Now, Smith was a big man, big barrel-chested Englishman. Picks this corpse, picks him up, stands him over against the wall, and says, in the name of Jesus, live! Let's go of the corpse, and it crumples to the floor. Most of us would run like a scalded dog right there, wouldn't we? I prayed for the sick and they did not recover. That's it. That's it. I'm prayed for them that didn't recover. This can't be true. It can't work. Moved by what you see. What'd Smith do? Picked the corpse up off the floor, stood him against the wall again. I said, in the name of Jesus, live. Let go of the corpse, and he crumpled to the floor again. Now, strike two. Most of us are out of here. Did it the third time. I said, live. And that body went, breath came into it. Got dressed, came down, and had breakfast. That's the difference between knowing the word and believing the word. See, that's the difference. He's raising the bar with us. And thank God he gave us Pastor Dave as the forerunner to give us the tools so that we know what to do. To raise us up to where the word really is. God never lowered his word. The church lowered his word. Hallelujah. Verse 17. Now here's the word. These signs shall follow them that what? Them that believe, see. Keep that karate image in your mind. Not those that have studied it. Not those that have knowledge of it. Those that believe it. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, this is not the fivefold. This is to them that believe. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Now, what were they preaching? The gospel. I'm going to read it like the King James has it first. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. But now, if you'll notice, in the King James, that word them is in italics. They were trying to help us, but I don't think it really helps us this time. Yes, sir. And you'll see really why here in a minute. But in my Bible, I've scratched that out. I just drew a line through them so I don't get it mixed up. I know that's not in the original Greek. That's not what was said. So let's read it now the way it was really in the Greek. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. Now, why is that so important? This is about the word. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. It's not about your bedside manner. It's not about your ups and downs on your daily basis. It's not about feelings. It's about the word. Do you believe what he said or do you not? See? And yes, we teach mortification. Yes, it has, you know, all of that mainly is for your protection. So that you mortify you enough where you don't go try and merchandise the anointing. God starts using you and then you're going to start charging $100 for a prayer cloth. Or, you know, he starts using you, and he talked about the gifts this morning, starts using you in prophecy. So now you're going to charge $300 for a prophecy. Mortification is to purge you of that. It's also especially to purge you from the adulation of men. Yeah. You want your glory to come from God and God alone. Amen? And sure, everybody likes to be liked. I like to be liked. Boy, I got to tell you right now, my goal in this life is not for you to like me. My goal in this life is when I leave this life to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want his praise, not yours. Amen. See, I might listen to you and I might be teaching trash as far as Jesus is concerned. But you telling me I'm the best thing since sliced bread. Oh, you're such a good teacher. You're such a good teacher. Shut up. You're not helping me. I don't even need to hear that. I mean, it's nice. It's okay, I guess. But, you know, when they start it too much, I get nervous. That's not what I live for. I don't live for your approval. I'm trying to live for His. Amen. I want... Oh! That day that I saw Him walk right close to where that speaker is, He walked right over here. Well, I walked right here, put His hand on my Bible and said, I want to be believed. I want to be believed. And I want to be able to say back to Him, I believe you. He laid His hand on the Bible. I know what that means. He wants us to believe His word. And I don't mean when we get punched in the face, that's the time to go crying and moaning and I need a counseling session with Alan. You know, my feelings got hurt. They talked ugly to me. Oh, shut up. Bunch of whiny babies. I told you I'm not a pastor. Been telling you. I'm a teacher. I'm talking preaching to me as much as anybody. I have to fight emotions. Smith had to fight emotions. Where do you think that comes from, that saying that he had? He says, I don't ask Smith how he feels. I tell Smith how he feels. Well, that's real easy when everything's going great. I went through a little battle yesterday, you know. Your wife knows what you go through. I went through a deal yesterday. It's real easy to preach like that here when I'm feeling good. I was going through an emotional down thing yesterday over something. And it's really hard when you're in the valley to tell yourself that. But that is the answer anyway. That's the best time to go confess the word, pray in tongues, worship God. When nothing in you wants to do it, that's the best time to do it. Dave used to tell us this all the time. He says, the biggest first impasse is when you're doing great at first. Now, he used Daisy, so I'm going to bring... I mean, it's Dave's fault. He told this on you. He said one day Daisy had been praying and fasting for years, you know. And one day she comes in and she I think at his office over there. And she says, I don't know anything. I'm pretty worthless. I don't have any power. You know, she was just, nobody else has ever had any of those days, right? See? Dave did not patty cake that. He wasn't mean about it either. Thank God our pastor does have a good bedside manner. Well, it wasn't bedside. But anyway, he says, yes, you do, Daisy. You know the word. You have fasted. You have prayed. You have mortified. He said, what's happening is you're facing yourself. You're facing that soulish part of you that's still moved by emotion. He says, you got to rise above that now with your spirit. See, isn't that good? God's calling us to believe His word and to get in a street fight and not lose the plan when you get punched in the face. I like that t-shirt. It's military, but I like it. It says, stay calm and return fire. I like that shirt. That's the whole church need. I preached that one time, and a friend of mine up in Michigan, a pretty good artist, so he made a gun look out of a black Bible. You know, had the Holy Bible, and somehow he was able to do it, and he put that on a poster and put that caption. Because what we're supposed to shoot is not bullets, is it? What we're supposed to shoot is the Word of God. So what he was saying was, stay calm and return fire with the word. Ooh, I like it. I like it, see? We still haven't got to the verse. Oh, yeah, we did. The Lord works with His word. He confirms His word. Your up day or down day does not have a whole lot to do with it, but your believing does. See, Mike Tyson could win a fight even if... who's the guy that beat him? Holyfield, yeah. Xander Holyfield, Christian. Glory to God. Anyway, commercial. But in his heyday, Mike Tyson was a force to be reckoned with. I mean, you got punched in the face by that guy. You know you got punched in the face. Well, listen, we're going into the arena of life and death. This one we prayed for today. This is a life and death battle. It's a life and death thing. You think the enemy just going to sit? Oh, yeah, I'll go. Oh, yeah. Man, the enemy threw everything it could trying to stop Jesus. It threw everything it could trying to stop Paul. It, when you start operating in this, it's going to throw everything it can trying to stop you. You better. When you get in a street fight, that's not the time to become a believer. You need to be a believer when you get in the fight.
Amen.
Now, when you believe it, my Bible says the Lord, to those that believe, the Lord working with and confirming the word. But it only works for believers. You got that? All right. I made a few notes here. This is where nearly everybody starts. He starts working with the word in your life. What you believe. That's how you got saved. He confirmed, when you heard his word and believed it, he confirmed his word by regenerating you to newness of life. Isn't that right? First, it's with you. That's how you got saved. That's how you got baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's how you got healed. And that's how you prosper. So the first level usually is he's confirming the word at the personal level with you. You need to get saved. You need to get healed. You need to be mortified. You need this and you need that. Amen? Then he wants to raise you up and start working in the lives of others. It begins to be like waves going out from you. Okay? He begins working in the lives of us. How many of you know Jesus didn't walk this earth only receiving from God for himself? Isn't that right? I want to go see if I can walk on the water again. I like walking on the water. I'm going to spend my whole 3 years just walking on the water. That's not the kind of mindset, is it? No, it's all about others. And he's trying to, we had the mind of Christ. He's trying to put that same motivation in us now. Get past ourselves. So I wrote down here. First level of that is when they believe the word that you share with them. I've dealt with a lot of people that I'd sow the word into them and they'd wind up getting healed without the laying on of hands. They got healed by the word in them. You see what I'm saying? And that's a good level to be. I really think number one, it's best for you to get healed on your own faith. Because if you get, I mean, it's him. It's always him. It's not your faith that heals you, but your faith in his word. And because if you get healed that way, you can always get it. If you get it by a gift, you've got to track that guy down again who had the gift. If you lose it. Okay. But now, where we really are now, though, he works with the word in the lives of others. And really where he's bringing us right now, this is where you believe for them. See, Mark 16, when it says it's a sign, that means it's a sign not to believers. It's a sign to unbelievers. When he says you're going to lay hands on the sick and it's a sign to them, shouldn't be a sign to the Christian. It's a sign to the unbeliever that the word is true. What word? He's alive. Jesus is raised from the dead. Jesus is Lord of all. With his stripes you were healed. And he'll heal you right now. Well, can you prove that? Sure. I got hands. Put my hands on you and they get healed. That's a sign to the unbeliever. Now they have an opportunity to believe the gospel and get saved. Isn't that true? But it certainly wasn't their faith that got them healed. It's your faith that when you lay hands on them, God will confirm his word. What word? Mark 16:20. Believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He'll confirm his word. He's not really so much working with you. The point I'm trying to make is, Alan was again, it's amazing to me how the Holy Spirit weaves these together without us talking. Alan was especially talking this morning how the gifts of the Spirit can flow through people that are doctrinally all messed up. We've seen it. I've seen it, you know. And he was explaining that. But see, it's the word. I grew up in churches, and I appreciate them, but I grew up in churches that plainly from the pulpit said, tongues has passed away, tongues is of the devil. Well, now the Holy Spirit is not going to, is that the word? No, the Holy Spirit's not going to confirm that, is he? But that same church would preach the cross, preach Christ and him crucified, preach it, that part of it, they would preach accurately. And boy, when they gave the altar call, I still remember, you wanted to get saved again. That anointing, that drawing of the Holy Spirit was so there. And it's the Lord working with the Word. It's the part that they believed. You can't believe everything they believe, but boy, that part was true. And the Holy Spirit would work with it and confirm it. And I've seen them old hard drinking, gamble away the family money guys get saved, straighten up, become pillars of the church, you know. And don't tell me it wasn't real. When the fruit changes and it stays changed, the tree changed. That's another lesson we're going to do pretty soon, but anyway. So he works with the word in the lives of others. Now, it's not always just with total unbelievers. I wrote down three here. Like, remember the Canaanite woman? Well, she got deliverance for her daughter. It wasn't the daughter's faith, was it? Somebody said, now that Canaanite woman, she was a real mama. She comes to Jesus. I have a demon-possessed daughter. She's grievously tormented. I'm asking for deliverance. And God in the flesh, Jesus, basically says no and called her a dog. This is a real mama. I hear what you're saying, but I am not leaving here till I get what I came for my daughter. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Oh, great is thy faith and your daughter's healed. So the centurion, he got healing for his servant. It wasn't the servant's faith, was it? The centurion believed the authority of the word. How about Jairus' daughter? He says, if you listen, read exactly what Jairus said, come lay your hands on my daughter and she will live. Jairus determined it, not Jesus. Jairus. That's his faith. You come lay your hands on my daughter and she shall be healed. Was it Jairus' daughter that got her up from the dead? Was it her faith? No, no. It was Jairus' faith. See? Now, dominion, which is what revival really is, dominion is all about the name of Jesus being above every name that is named. And it is all about the final authority of God's word. That's where it is. Got that? I want to say this again. Now, Smith said, yes, sir. We turn it over to, we're in Mark, back up to Mark chapter 9. I already lost my place. Been preaching so good, I lost my place. Mark 9. See, that's a hard saying. I'm going to say it again. Smith would say, I'm just going to read it like I wrote it. Smith Wigglesworth would say, the man who believes God has it. Well, that's a really hard statement. Smith was not known for his sweet bedside manner, but he was known for miracles and for raising the dead. If his method worked and ours does not, perhaps we should listen to him and adjust our doctrine. Now you say, well, I do believe, but you don't have it. Okay. Well, let's look at this man. Let's go to Mark, what did I say, 9? We normally go to Matthew's account of this man who brought his lunatic son. Y'all know that story so well. I'm not going to start in the first verse, but let's come on down to verse 22. Mark 9, 22. Oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But now, boy, if you underline, if thou canst do anything, stop. Does that sound like faith to you? Does that sound like faith to you? No. No, it's not. Now, why is he saying that? See, the guy, we're going to get to in a minute, that famous phrase where he says, I believe, help thou my unbelief. What he means by that, he had heard, someone had told him about these miracles that were happening in Jesus' ministry. You'll find out that the disciples had already been commissioned and sent out, and they had had success healing the sick and casting out devils. So he believed that if he brought his lunatic son to Jesus or his disciples, that when they ministered to him, his boy would be healed. Well, he did that. They ministered to the boy, and he didn't get healed. I would say his faith is probably lower now than when he first came. He had heard that the disciples could get it done, but he saw that they didn't get it done. So now he's saying to Jesus, well, if you can do anything, okay, have compassion on us and help us. Now, for the longest time, it seemed so harsh what Jesus said to him. Jesus said unto him, you got to get there. I'm going to set you up. He's looking at Jesus going, if you can do anything, help us. Jesus turns right back around and says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Do you see that? He turns it right back. And I thought, what are you trying to say here? See, what you got to know, this man's a Jew. He's a son of Abraham. You remember that time he said, should not this daughter of Abraham be loosed? Why use that phrase? Because there is a covenant of healing with the Jews. That's why Jesus says, listen, if you can believe, believe what? How about Exodus 15:26? You don't need to turn there. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. How about Exodus 23:25? I will bless thy bread. I will bless thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. This man had a, like every man, every Jew, already had a covenant of healing with God. And Jesus is saying, if you believe that, your boy could be healed with your faith. At this, the man humbled himself. He says, let's finish reading it. So Jesus says to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out. Notice he didn't start arguing with him. He humbled himself. He said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. What's he saying there? Lord, you see all things. If I didn't believe at all, I wouldn't have brought my boy here. I'm a believing as far as I know how. And I am asking for your help to take this the rest of the way. And do you know that the Lord did not rebuke him, cast him out, turn him away, but he did exactly what the man asked him to do. And the Lord added his faith and got that boy free. So now I wrote this in big letters here. Jesus will meet you where you are. He is no respecter of persons. He helped that man with his unbelief, and he will help you with your unbelief. But now let me tell you, that, and that's true. That, trust me, I know that's true. He has helped me beyond my faith so many times. But that is not where he wants Gary to stay, and that is not where he wants you to stay. Jesus, I don't want him to always be going, oh, ye of little faith. I don't want to be like that centurion and like that Canaanite. Oh, I have not found such great faith. Isn't that where we want to be? Amen. What do we want to do is grow where the word literally becomes us. You know, there's in Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 3 or 4. It talks about the word of God being sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder between soul and spirit. And then it says joint and marrow. One day I was meditating on that. It's not a pretty scene. I saw myself walking around my right arm. The bones were exposed and so was the marrow. He said, now you're beginning to understand. My word literally becomes you like the marrow in your bones. It is you. The word becomes flesh. It is you. And when you get there, trust me, you have it. Gary's walking straight. Alan's his perfect, normal, handsome self. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. The glasses go away. Now, don't throw away your glasses. Believe in God. Alan, how did they do? They had special catchers the first few weeks of the Bible school every year because they start teaching on faith. And invariably, these Bible students who have no money, they throw their glasses down and start tromping on them and everything because if I'm healed. They don't have any money to replace their glasses, so they had special catchers get the glasses before they can stomp on them, you know. Hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 55. I'll start trying to close. You know, Dave has taught us out of Matthew's account of this many times. See, the disciples thought they believed. If they knew, remember, it didn't work when they prayed. It did work when Jesus prayed. So they went to him privately and said, why didn't it happen when we prayed? And he told them, because of your unbelief. Dave says, why ask if you already know the answer? In other words, the way I wrote it here, I said, I think they were stunned. I think they expected, well, this is a particularly big, bad, nasty devil, and only I can really cast this one out, and don't feel too bad that you couldn't cast. I think they expected something like that. I'm going to be a little more blunt than Jesus. He says, because of your unbelief. What was the foundation for their believing? When Jesus sent them out to heal the sick and cast out devils, what was the foundation? Wasn't it his word to them? I give you authority. Cast out devils, heal the sick. So with that foundation, when he says, because of your unbelief, what if he said it this way? Because you didn't believe what I told you. You did not believe. When you saw something manifesting that was worse than anything you'd seen before, all of a sudden you believed that more than you believe my word to you. Because of your unbelief in my word. That's why you weren't able to do it. Well, we're no different today. We've got to come where we believe this word. Not just have knowledge about it, not just know where it is, chapter and verse, not just sing about it. It has to become bone of our bone, who we are. And when we get in the street fight, bless God, we win. We win every time. Like Smith, stand them up against the wall again. Stand them up against the wall again. Stand them up against the wall again. There's no such thing as failure. Stand them up against the wall again. Isaiah 55, starting in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud. What comes after the bud on a fruit tree? The fruit. You are the earth here. You are the tree that's growing up. You are the one that his word is going to cause to flower and bud and produce fruit. If you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. And even the limbs in you that are producing, my Father's going to prune that. So why? You produce more fruit. But it's the word. Notice, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Hello, thing whereto he sent it. You are the tree that came up out of the ground. His word is like the rain. His word is like the snow. It brings that moisture and it will produce buds that will one day produce fruit. See, that's the other thing that Smith said. We all want to go from zero to 100 in a millisecond. And I said, what's the secret of great faith, Smith? First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. In other words, this is a process. You may not go from zero to 100 overnight. It's a process. I doubt that the first prayer Smith ever prayed was standing a corpse up against the wall. It started somewhere, praying for a head cold. I don't know. I don't have any record of that. But from what he taught, he didn't go from zero to 100 overnight. But he started. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But it'll never get to the full corn if we never start. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a season. Boda kiste la brato mate shinde la brako maka frusti bako busta la banka da bleko busta la brato ponde la bra. Oh, Shindelabra, for the time now is, says the Lord, where you have nurtured and watered my seed for generations. But now in this hour, my truth is manifesting in fruit form. No longer just the bud. No longer just the green leaves of religion. But now the buds are on the tips of the branches, and it's time for the fruit now to come forth. No, this is the hour. This is the time. Say not, it's months away until harvest. The fields are white for the harvest now. Believe, little flock, it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Believe. Hallelujah. Boy, if there was ever a time to press in, this is a time to do it. And it's also a time to start putting feet with your faith. Risk failure. Risk looking like a fool. Risk it. Even Smith, the first time he stood that corpse up against the wall, it didn't happen. Risk it and don't stop. His word is true. And we are not a people that will stop based on what we see. And if we do that, we are going to see lots and lots of fruit. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God confirms his word with signs accompanying. That word following really is better translated accompanying with the word. Hallelujah.